I want to give you a scripture this morning that I really feel contains all of our 2018. I want to give you a scripture that as I began to read, and it's one that you know well and truly very well, but I just feel like God says, you can basically put your whole entire year into this one verse, into two verses. And it's in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's chains were loosened. See, we've finally arrived at the end of this 21-day fast. So some of you might be feeling, have already seen breakthrough in your year. Maybe you've already seen some miracles come to pass. Maybe some of you feel like nothing's really changed or something's going. Some of you might have a stirring like I do at the moment. Some are feeling, I don't know what just happened. I just did it. But I believe that when I said to you this verse is going to sum up your 2018, it's because what is happening to Paul and Silas is they're living in the natural but seeing the supernatural unfold at the exact same instant. Can someone say amen? They're living in a season that they're in prison. Actually, they're on death row, and I'll go through what brought them to this point. But at the same moment, they are also experiencing the supernatural at exactly the same hour. Can someone give me a mighty amen? And 2018 is going to be just like that. We are going to be living in something, but the Holy Spirit is going to bring a supernatural element that will contradict everything that we are physically experiencing. I want to just go through two things. The Bible is made up of two words. And because of the English language, it's translated just the word. But in the Greek, it's actually under two separate words. There's the logos word, which means that it is the principally, which if you can see up here, is the total inspired word of God. But then there's another word that is used in the Greek that Paul speaks of quite regularly. And this is a word that's translated as called rhema word, which means it's the spoken word of God. So the literal word of God is what Jesus did to the devil. When the devil came and tempted him, he spoke the word. But when he spoke it, it became a rhema word. He said, the word of God says that I shall not live by bread alone. But when he uttered it, it became a rhema word. I don't need bread that you're offering because I live on a word that is stronger than the physical bread. Can you hear me this morning, church? Amen. So there's the word of God says, and then the rhema word of God. That's why when we did our fasting, we gave you a pack and we encouraged you to go get a truth from God, because out of the truth of God, you will get a rhema word, which will sustain you through your contradictory lifestyle. Can someone give me an amen? So you're sitting in a storm, you're sitting in a hardship, but there's a rhema word that was spoken to your spirit over the last 21 days that tells you, my ways are not your ways, Mirella. My thoughts are not your thoughts, Mirella. The things that you're seeing is not coming to pass, because immediately when I begin to put a rhema word, I can begin to expect a suddenly supernatural element to attach itself to my thing. I've called this sermon, expect what is about to happen to contradict what you're living. Actually, that was not, is it? That's what it was. These guys always ask me for a title. I tried to think of it, but what I said sounds better now. Amen. So I wanted you to go. So I want you to realize that even though you finished the fast, I want you to keep that book as a reference point. What was your rhema word? And just because the 21 days is over, this is not just to say it's done. It's the one thing that you're going to go, you know what? I didn't get a rhema word in the 21 days, but I'm going to still go get it. I've still got March to go get a rhema word. I want a word from God. What we did in singing this week, this whole morning, that praise and worship was phenomenal. Can someone give me an amen? Boys, you were amazing, girls. You're amazing. So, but it was, I could not hear you guys because the church is so loud, because you know what? You're getting a rhema word as the songs are dropping into our spirit. Amen. I may not have much left, but you provide. There's the rhema word coming out of heaven. And when we begin to sing, it goes, you're the Lord, the maker, my savior. That's a rhema word coming in to existence. That's what happens. I've lived a week this week that has been so ridiculously contradictory to what the word of God says. But this morning, there was rhema words coming out as I began to speak the literal words of God and going, this is Lagos word, and I'm going to bring them into rhema words as I worship with my team this morning. Can someone give me an amen? These boys are living a Lagos life. They're in a prison cell, but they're singing and worshiping from a rhema word. So they're living from the Logos, that God is never going to leave them, that God is never going to abandon them, that God is going to see them through. But they're singing and worshiping because they've got a Rhema word inside. Are you here with me this morning, church? They're in prison for absolutely nothing that they did wrong. So they know the word of God, and that's why they're singing and worshiping God. The Bible says that they were singing. They were singing from a Rhema word. And let me tell you about this. How do you get a Rhema word? There's one scripture that will tell you how to get a Rhema word. It's James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Who draws first? We do. Who makes the first move? We do. Jesus has done the first move. He went to the cross. Now in you and I, it's our choice. What do you do on a Sunday morning? What do you do on a Monday morning? Are you opening the word to sustain your week? Are you opening the word to sustain your day? Are you giving your draw close to God? And God will draw close to you. You are not determined by the level. You are the one who determines the level of relationship that you have with God. I'll say that again. You are the one who determines the level of your relationship with God, not God. Because he did his part. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But he said, if you draw near to me, I will always draw near to you. So they're in prison, Paul and Silas, for nothing there. I want to show you what they did that got them in prison. In verse 16, so we're just going back, it says, one day as they were going down to the place of prayer, they're going to prayer meeting. They were going to prayer meeting. They were minding their own business, going to prayer meeting. How many times have you and I done that? Most of us did it this morning at 8:30. Got in the car and got ready to come to prayer meeting. As they were heading to prayer meeting, we met a slave who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. New age. Amen. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. Paul and Silas haven't done anything yet. This went on day after day until Paul got greatly annoyed and turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hope of wealth were all shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. Just keep in mind, they're just doing their own thing. They're on their way to prayer meeting, not bothering anybody. New Age comes their way. How many times has New Age walked into your office space? How many times has New Age walked into your school? It's already in our government. Verse 22, the mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were going to prayer meeting. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. The jailer who was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. They've done nothing, church. They've done absolutely nothing wrong. Yet everyone has turned against them. They are in prison. Out of nowhere, things got really bad, really quick. For nothing that they did. She went after them, the Bible says. She went after them over and over again. And they spoke to the demon, not to her, not to her people, not to her, the people that were running her. They just spoke to the demon because that was being drawn. Paul writes to the church of Ephesians and warns them, get ready, put on the full armor of God. Prepare yourself because at any moment you're going to find yourself in a battle. That's what Paul was saying. Put on the full armor of God and what? Stand. Put on the full armor. Put it on head to toe. Put it all on and then just stand. Because any minute you find yourself in a battle. Living a normal life, not hassling anybody, on their way to prayer meeting. And before the day is over, they are on death row for absolutely no reason. I want to tell you that doesn't matter how good 2017 was, how prosperous you were, how blessed you may have felt. If you love God and you want to leave a legacy on this earth, get ready. There's a battle brewing your way in 2018. I'll say that again. It doesn't matter how great or even how bad 2017 was. how blessed or how prosperous you may have felt, if you love God and you want to leave a legacy on this earth, get ready. There is a battle brewing and it's coming your way in 2018. But let me tell you this, the enemy would not send a battle against you if he was not there worried about the blessing that you're about to receive. He's only in fear of what you're about to get. See, the attacks will only get you to in 2018 is because there has been a blessing that is set up with your name on it. A robber doesn't steal a house, an empty house. He steals because he wants something. He goes to steal because there's something in there that he wants. The enemy wants something from you. He's a stealer. The Bible calls him, it labels him a stealer, a robber, a destroyer. Because you have something he wants. He wants your authority. That's what he wants. He wants your Rhema word. He wants your 2018. But like I said, this scripture, there's three things I want to show you in this scripture this morning that I think that encapsulates our 2018. The first thing is, some things are going to happen in 2018 that are out of your control. Paul and Silas did absolutely nothing wrong. So one of the first things I want you to realize, it was out of their control. They couldn't change anything. They chose to see the moment as it was. But the second part I want you to understand in this scripture is, the second thing is, one, it was out of their control. The second one was in their control. So this year I want you to realize there are going to things happen in your life that are going to feel like they're out of your control. Now the Bible says that at midnight, it was very specific to mention the word midnight. It says at midnight. Now I just want to read you this. At midnight, it is known that there is no darker moment of the day than at midnight. There is no darker moment in the day than at midnight. At midnight, it is the darkest it will ever be for that 24 hours. But as soon as midnight is over, it starts to reverse. No matter how thick the midnight darkness is, no matter how heavy the midnight darkness is, at some point the sun is being commanded to begin to break the new day. So at some point in 2018, you will feel that you may have hit your darkest moment of your life. It feels like it's so heavy that you don't know how you're going to break through. But I want to tell you that the Rhema word God wants to give you tells you this too shall pass. Because the sun, the S-O-N, has been commanded to show up in your moment. See, the Bible says that weeping may last for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And at midnight, at the very darkest moment, midnight does not last for 6 hours. Midnight does not last for any longer. At midnight, it will stop, the clock will turn, and daylight is on its way. And you will see the break of day. And the Bible says that he said to me, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. So in the midnight hour, you have a choice. There's things that are going to happen that are out of your control, but you will have a choice. They were imprisoned and in absolute darkness. They were tied up. But what they couldn't do, the soldiers could not do, was mute them. See, the soldiers were able to tie their hands, shackle their feet, put them in the depths of a dungeon, but what they couldn't do was keep them quiet. See, your midnight might mean there's no money left. I ask you, does that mute you? Midnight be for you might be a bad health report. Does that mute you? Midnight might be your marriage is breaking. Does that mute you? Midnight might be the past coming back to remind you of how wretched you are. Does that mute you? Well, for Paul and Silas, bleeding, imprisoned, tied hands and feet, that made them worship. I ask you, what does midnight do to you? The first one might be out of your control. I can't control what the doctors are telling me, but I can control what I do with the doctor's report. I can't control what comes my way in news, but I can control what I choose to do with that information. Worship has nothing to do with how I feel. It's about who God is. I'm not moved by feelings. I'm moved by who he is. And God doesn't change with how I feel. I can have the best day and the worst day. God is still sovereign and he's still on the throne. On my worst day, he's on the throne. On my best day, he's on the throne. He doesn't move. That's why the enemy is so shocked. Even when he took everything away from Job, he killed his family, he took his money, he lost everything, and yet he still worshipped. What do you do on your lowest day is you at your best on your highest day. What you do on your lowest day is who you really are at your best on your highest day. I ask you, what will mute you this year? Or will it cause you to worship because of who he is? It's midnight, but I can still worship. It's heavy, but I can still worship because it doesn't change who God is. God is still who he is. The first thing may be out of my control, but the second one, it's in my control. I have the choice. Worship is my eternity DNA part that comes out to the forefront and begins to sing and remind me that God is sovereign. And yes, this too shall pass away. That's what it does when I worship God, when I sing praises to God. That's why when we're sending him, we can't hold our emotions. We have to lift up our hands. That's why we have to do it, because the eternity part is coming to the forefront in my life. And it's speaking to my soul. God has got this. You may not have much left, but he's going to provide. That's what's happening. My eternity, my draw, my DNA that we know about is coming to the forefront. God's got this. You're only passing through this. This is not going to stop you. You are not going to drown. My spirit, my soul is anchored in you alone. There are all the things that happens in the world that we live in. God, that's why worship is so important. That's why worship is the most powerful part of this. Because so many times when we're sitting and hearing the word, where our minds are thinking about 10 other things, what I'm going to do for lunch, where I've got to go, I've got an appointment, I've got to study, I've got to do this. But worship stops us because it pulls every part of us. It takes my body, it takes my spirit, and it takes my soul into a place. And when I'm confessing it, the Bible says that what I confess will not return to me void. It comes out of worship. Comes out of worship. In worship, heaven collides with my situation. As this week I spent, we went a little bit longer in our fast because we just started it a little bit different. And on the final day of my fast, I'm sitting in a doctor's surgery. And I'm getting, let me be honest, I'm getting a bad report. But my Rhema word said to me during my 21-day fast, you shall speak my word that goes from your mouth and it shall not return to me void. So when I went home with the reports of what the doctor could, because that's all they can do. They're amazing people. They're amazing people. But I took out just one, I opened my Bible to just one page. And in this one scripture I read, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. His chastisement was for my peace. And by his stripes, I am healed. In the doctor's office, I'm causing a Logos word to become a Rhema word. Can you hear me this morning, church? And that will sustain. It's out of my control. But now I took it back into my control. Out of my control, what that doctor is saying. It's now in my control. What do I do with that word that I've been spoken to? And then I kept staying in the word. Because if I draw near to God, God draws near to me. And then where is it says, let me go, I read that this morning to you, Psalm 133. Tonight we have an anointing service. An anointing service, thank you. Because we understand the power of anointing. See, I was sharing before that we ask God to bless our finances, bless our businesses, bless. But the Bible says that he will anoint our head. And from that anointing, things will flow. So we're going to spend a whole an hour tonight. Church opens at 6. We're going to have break with a light meal because we're family. That's what family does. And it says in Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant he is, that we will dwell together in unity. That's what we're going to do. It is like precious oil poured upon the head, running down from the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garment. So as we anoint each other tonight, it will run into your finances. It will run into your businesses. It will run into your health. It will. I don't need to sit there and worry about it. I just need to get the anointing from the anointed one tonight. When I come into his presence and I lay my life down before him at the altar and I say, God, you heard the report when I heard the report, but you knew what was coming before I got there. You heard what was going to be spoken before I got there. But But right now I'm coming under the anointing that will touch every part of my blood cells, every part of my organs. It will go, that anointing. I don't need to keep giving you a reminder of my praise report. I don't need to give you a reminder of my health report. I need the anointing that will flow into my business, that will flow into my finances, that will flow into my health. And it says it will be like oil running down from the beard onto every edge of his garments. That is what's going to happen tonight. We're going to come together and we're going to just get an anointing that will run into every part of your life. And then from then it says when you're together and you're anointed, it says it will run like dew off it, descending from the Mount of Zion. For the Lord there shall command a blessing. Guess what? Tonight at 6 o'clock, God is going to get his angels together and command a blessing over Morella's health. That's what I know is going to happen. I'm not having church because I got better things to do than church, but I need a commanded blessing over my health. I need to go back and get a commanded blessing over my spiritual walk with God. I need that commanded blessing. So I'm coming tonight at 6 o'clock because where that anointing flows, it will touch every area of my life. And the Bible keeps saying, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Bless by night, stand in the house of the Lord. And then he says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth will bless you from Zion. This is a Rhema word to me. It's a logos, but the minute I uttered it, it became a Rhema word. And I stood here this morning in a prayer meeting. I was well aware of my doctor's report, but I said to us as a church, lift your hands and worship our God. Lift your hand and praise him, because you have no idea there's a commanded blessing over the top of that paper. That paper's full of ink, but the blood of Jesus is stronger than that paper. Full of ink. I know what I heard, but I have a Rhema word, and that will sustain me. It doesn't matter how much that word comes back to me. I have a Rhema word that has been painted with the blood of Jesus. So I might need to come every Sunday and just remember what that cross did for me. But I will come in different states every part this year. I will come when it feels like midnight. I will come when it feels like I'm imprisoned. What happens when you're in prison? It removes you. What happens when you're in prison? It removes you. It takes you away from society. Prison removes you. It removes you from your freedom. It removes you from your ability to make your choices. People make choice on your behalf. Most people that fall into great depression or suffer with mental illness, they talk about feeling like they are imprisoned in themselves. Unable to make the changes. Unable to feel like they live a life of freedom. They're just being removed. What does the enemy want you to do? Take you away? He doesn't want you to come to church on Sunday because he knows what this will do to you. It will break you from that spirit of imprisonment. It will take you out of that place. Everything inside you may want you to retrieve back, but I want you to know that place of prison is where the enemy wants you to just fight your own demon. But remember, when it came into the prison, see, Paul and Silas were just anointed ones. That's why the demon was chasing them, because it recognized Jesus. And they spoke to the demon. The lady called him the Most High God. Three parts. Midnight. Are you testing me? I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say after today. Get rid of this string. Midnight. There'll always be midnights in 2018. There's going to be midnights in 2018. Let's be realistic. Midnight could happen sooner than what you're ready for. As much as we are talking about blessings and as much as we're talking about praise, midnights come, but it doesn't have the effect that midnight brings. It doesn't affect me because I know that the clock is still ticking and God is still moving. So midnight will come in 2018. But Paul and Silas were praying. They made a choice to worship. The second one is always going to be in your control. So the first one is out of your control. The second one is in your control. But the third one is this. He is in control. Because the Bible says that as they began to, they were in prison. We've got the scripture up there just to go back. The Bible says that they were singing and praising and everyone was listening. I love that everybody was listening to them. They were singing and worshiping. And then the Bible says, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. But listen to this, that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains was loose. So the first one, out of your control. Some things are going to just happen. But the second part is you always have an option for the next part of the control. And the third one, if you choose number two, to play it out the same way Silas and Paul did, if you're going to choose to make that and say, you know what, I don't have any choice of what I just heard, but I do have a choice to do it. See, my choice was that what I heard the report all week, my choice was to get up and preach on Sunday. That was my choice. I could have turned around and said, no, I have to just sit with what I've been heard. But my choice was to preach the living word of God. My Rhema word this morning, that's all I'm doing to you. I'm preaching a Rhema word that's come out of my spirit. And then the third one is, he is in control. So the Bible says that suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. See, the suddenly part is where God shows up. Suddenly, God showed up. You have something that's out of control. You took control. You attacked your Rhema word to it. God suddenly showed up and he then took control. He came in and said, I'll now take over, man or woman of God. You are my son or daughter. I am now coming. You just sit and worship me. You come and sit and worship me in your midnight. You come and sit and worship me in the storm. You come and sit and worship me while you're going through the hardship, and I will come in with a suddenly to contradict what your reality is showing you. And the Bible says that it shook the foundations. You know what? God doesn't do things on the surface. He goes straight to the root of them, and he goes right down to the foundation, and he breaks the enemy's plans, and he says, you have no foundations left in this girl here right now. He speaks to the foundation. He said, this will never come to pass again. That's when David went and saw Goliath after he knocked him down. He cut off his head. He said, because you will never have a head to come back to me to speak those lies to me again. God says, I will go to the foundation. I will go to the root of what keeps taking you to this place, and I will speak to you. You are whole. You are well. You are God's kings. You are his. God says, I will go to the core of that. I will go to the foundation where the enemy had planted a seed inside of it. He will go to that core and he says, I'm ripping out the roots right here, right now. That thing will never rear its ugly head again. He said, I will go to the foundations and I will make them crumble. But we just want to go with the surface. I just don't want to move on what I'm feeling. God says, I want to get to the root of that. I want to get to the root of that. Abandonment doesn't start because of a season you went through. Abandonment starts because there's something rooted in there. Brokenness is not something because you're just experiencing a bad season, because there's a root of brokenness in there. And God says, I want to go to the foundation of where that started. Remember, we've been talking about all the exit out of 2017. We're talking about, where did you let that entrance come in? Where's that entered door that the enemy took? It's now laid a root in it. And Jesus, God said, suddenly he shook the foundations. He shook those foundations. He said, these prison doors will never hold you bound again. These prison doors will never hold you again. God will go directly to crush the foundation so that you, when you build, you will build anew. He will go directly to the root that is keeping you down. The word suddenly, the Greek word is aphenō. And the Greek word for suddenly comes from the word contradictory. When I read that, I was so amazed by God. When God says suddenly, suddenly, suddenly there was a great earthquake. God contradicted what they were experiencing. He contradicted with a suddenly. Said, it's not what you are experiencing, but it's not what's happening. It's what you're seeing, but it's not what's happening. It's what you're feeling, but it's not what's happening. Because his word contradicts my reality. My reality says one thing, but his word contradicts everything that this said. Because I know who my God is. I'm stable in who he is. So right now, you may be facing a midnight right now, and I'm so proud of you because you came to church. See, we all sit here. We're all different places in our lives. We don't know who's facing hell right now. We don't know who's facing the most deepest broken. We don't know if we're standing to the next. We all look good. But we don't know if we're standing with a midnight person next to us. But we can't sit there and judge because we don't know how close the midnight is for us. And I can't stop it from coming. It's coming. And I get excited because the enemy only wants to bring a battle when he's worried about what I've got to get from it. He only prepares me for what God has got. Choose to give God all the glory this year. Get a Rhema word. If you haven't got it yet, get a Rhema word. Don't worry about the diary. Don't worry about a calendar. Don't worry about if it's the end of March, end of February. Don't worry about it. Get a Rhema word. Get a Rhema word. Get a Rhema word that will sustain you and utter that word. And God will show up and contradict what your reality is. Let me call the worship team back up. God doesn't operate in this atmosphere. That's why he's not worried about our situation as much as we are. The Bible says immediately all the doors were open. Instantly all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. That's a generational blessing. See, what happened to Paul and Silas wasn't just for them too. It was about the people that were around them too. The people at work don't know how blessed they are to have you in their workplace yet. Are you here with me, church? Your children don't know how blessed they are just yet. They will, because they'll be reaping a harvest. I'm reaping my dad's harvest already, amen? I'm not traveling the world because of me. I'm traveling because of the world of him. Because the anointing that flows off him, I'm reaping in his harvest. Are you here with me? Paul and Silas made a choice and it affected the entire prison. You're the family will be affected by what you choose to do. Your children will be affected. Your marriage will be affected. Your family will be affected. Your business will be affected. Your finances will be affected. Everything will be affected. Everybody in that prison. It didn't open just Paul and Silas's cell. All of them opened. Let's stand to our feet this morning.